This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hello, cat lovers. Welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Fern. What's better than kittens? Right, they're adorable, you fall in love with them, but for those of us that know, they are a challenge to take care of. My guest today is part of the Itty Bitty Orphan Kitten Rescue, and what they do is just amazing. I cannot wait to introduce you to her, so stay tuned, we'll be right back. Michelle Fern here, and you know saving cats is near and dear to my heart. Did you know that there is an estimated 70 to 100 million free-roaming cats in the United States? And without spay-neuter, that number will keep growing. Not only does spay-neuter mainly reduce the community cat population, but it also keeps cats healthier. Scooter, the neutered cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Visit his website, givethem10.org, to help pioneer a better world for cats. That's givethem10, spelled out, T-E-N.org.
Need the perfect gift for the cat lover in your life? Check out comfortdiva.com. We have cat-tastic gifts to make you smile, like cat-themed tote bags, kitchen towels, quirky mugs, and stylish t-shirts. For holiday gifts or anytime, comfortdiva.com has it all. Treat the cat lady in your life to something pawsome and save 20% with coupon MEOW20. Visit ComfortDiva.com today because every cat lover deserves a little comfort. ComfortDiva.com, where comfort meets catitude.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Lori Mello. She is the founder, president, does it all, from the Itty Bitty Orphan Kitten Rescue. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. So tell everybody, what is the Itty Bitty Kitten Rescue?
Yeah, so it's Itty Bitty Orphan Kitty Rescue. We basically focus on the orphan kittens that don't have moms. I've started doing this back in 1999. Somebody brought me a litter of kittens and said, can you bottle feed them? I said I could give it a try. I did it. They survived. I thought, hey, I'm kind of good at this. And I just started doing it. So I've been bottle feeding kittens for quite some time. We started the Itty Bitty Orphan Kitty Rescue in 2003 and been going ever since.
I want to apologize. I forgot to say orphan. So it's the Itty Bitty Orphan Kitty Rescue.
Right, right.
Okay. So it is Friday this time. Sometimes I have Friday days during the week, but this is a Friday.
So it's okay.
I want to just talk about what goes on behind the scenes. People think, you know, oh, kittens so cute, and when you rescue them. But I know from having kittens born on my doorstep and having to take care of them or help take care of them, that was just a tiny bit. You have orphaned. Mine were not orphaned. So what actually happens? Like, you know, do people bring you kittens that they just find? How does it work?
Yeah, so a lot of times there are kittens that are found outside and they contact us. And if we have the foster space available, we will take them in. But for the most part, I'd say 90% of the kittens that we get are coming from high kill shelters. So people find them and they take them to the shelters. And the shelters, up until 2010, were just automatically euthanizing them. So there was like 3,500 kittens a year at the San Jose shelter being euthanized because they didn't have any resources to care for them. So we helped develop a rescue network, and now the shelter has a pretty good rescue network, and now we're working with other shelters as well, and we pull these little baby kittens that can't eat on their own, some of them as young as just newborn, like a day old, and we bottle feed them, and we care for them until they're old enough for adoption. So we mostly get them from the shelters, but we do take them from the community as well when we can. There are a lot of kittens that are found out there. We do try to tell people, just because you find kittens outside doesn't mean that they're orphaned, doesn't mean that they don't have a mom. Their mom might be out hunting for food or, you know, off, she got just, you know, scared or something. So always kind of watch and wait and see if the mom comes back, because separating kittens from their mom is not a good thing. we can do only so much as humans for these baby kittens. So, you know, we do the best that we can, but we are not an actual replacement for a mama cat. So there is a lot involved. If the kittens are really young, like under a week old, you're feeding them every 2 hours, sometimes every 90 minutes, bottle feeding them. You have to potty them. You have to keep them super warm. A lot of times we put them in an incubator and, you know, you don't get any sleep for a long time. So most of the time in the spring, our fosters don't get much sleep because we're bottle feeding around the clock.
Let's take that as a step back, because I've done some research and at first I had no idea, but yeah, you're bottle feeding, you're actually waking up bottle feeding them, and it's a lot more intense than anybody would imagine unless they do have, you know, this information. And then you have to help them go to the bathroom as well.
Right.
You, in a sense, you're playing mama kitten.
Yeah, yeah, we are. And, you know, we occasionally do pull mom cats that are at risk at the shelter too with babies. And we have fosters that will take a mom cat and babies, which is the best of both worlds because you get to play with the baby kittens and watch them grow and mama does all the work. But in most cases, it's hard for us to find homes for those mama kitties when the kittens are raised because we are itty bitty orphan kitty rescue. Most people don't come to us looking for adult cats. So our mama cats are sometimes difficult to find homes for. We do mostly, like I said, just the baby orphan kittens. Just yesterday, I was contacted by a former foster who said that she saw three baby kittens out at her work. What does she do? She doesn't see mom. She's been watching for hours. So we, you know, jumped in, we grabbed those kittens. I found a foster home willing to bottle feed them, got them situated with supplies and everything that they need. And they're doing fairly well right now with the new foster. You know, it's very intense and you have to act super quickly because these kittens will die if they don't get fed right away.
What you do is amazing and not easy. What are some of the challenges involved besides the bottle feeding and helping them go to the bathroom? I could just imagine the emotional, you know.
Yeah, no, there's definitely an emotional investment there. You know, the fosters do, you know, fall in love with these kittens and they put everything they have into them. And sometimes they don't survive, unfortunately. Sometimes the little tinies won't survive. So we're doing the very, very best that we can to keep them alive. But every once in a while, we will lose one. And that's pretty devastating for the whole rescue when we lose a little baby. And, you know, they do get sick. They can get upper respiratory infections. They get diarrhea a lot, you know, because switching from mom's milk to, you know, kitten formula sometimes causes problems with their gut. We have to make sure that we keep them super warm. If they roll off their heating pad during the night, they get cold and then they can like get kind of like non-responsive in a hypoglycemic or a hypothermia reaction. So we have to really make sure that we're keeping an eye on these guys, you know, 24/7 while they grow. We do get some kittens that are a little bit older, like 2 weeks or 3 weeks old. Super easy. You bottle feed them, you potty them, you sleep for 4 hours, and then you come back and you do it again. And you'll still have the challenge of diarrhea and potential upper respiratory infections where they're sneezing or their eyes get infected and things like that because their immune systems are pretty compromised. But for the most part, they're a little bit more healthy. They had more of mom's milk. So they've got a little bit of that immunity to keep them going.
Wow. People think, you know, oh, kittens. I found some kittens. Like, oh, it's so sweet and whatever. But, you know, you forget all the backstory.
Yeah.
It's involved. You're,
you know, yeah. Well, you know, once they hit about 6 weeks old, they're just super fun. And, you know, you don't have to bottle feed them. You wean them to eating solid food. They can be a lot of fun for fosters. I have a lot of fosters that don't do bottle feeding. They only want the weaned kittens. So once they've been weaned to eating solid food, we transfer them to those fosters. And then they get to have the fun part. The messy beast stage is what I call it, when they're kind of stepping in the plate and not sure what the food is all about. And they're learning how to eat and go to the bathroom in the litter box. And they play and they wrestle and they have such a great time with each other and with their fosters. So that's a good stage. So we're always looking for fosters to take kittens that are older as well, so that we can relieve the bottle feeding fosters and have them take in new bottle babies.
Okay, thank you. You mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I want to know if there's more. So what about tips for our listeners if they find abandoned kittens? Because you said watch for the mama cat.
Yes, you want to watch from a distance so that you don't, you know, scare her away. If you see a mama cat nearby, the best thing to do is if the kittens are plump and they look healthy, and they look, you know, well cared for, you just leave them for a little while longer with their mom cat outside. If they look sick or skinny or they're crying nonstop, that means something's happened and mama's gone away and you need to scoop them up and save them. So you really just kind of need to use judgment as to whether or not these kittens are being cared for by a mama cat or not. And
what about hiding spaces?
Yeah. So sometimes they do hide. Sometimes mom cats, feral cats, and community cats will have them under decks, in sheds, in the bushes. You know, there's all kinds of places. Inside cars. You know, I've actually had a mom cat deliver kittens inside the backseat of a car that someone left their window open. And, you know, you just have to be really, really careful when you see them, and don't just automatically assume that they're orphaned and scoop them up. We call that kidnapping, and we really don't want to do that. Bottle feeding kittens is really difficult. And if there's a mom cat available to help them, it's always better for the kittens to stay with their mom. But if the kittens are older, like 4 to 6 weeks old, and they're running around and they're starting to eat solid food, that's a good time for you to scoop those kittens up, bring them inside and socialize them to humans, so that you can place them up for adoption. If you leave them out too long until they're like 8 or 9 weeks old, it becomes really hard to socialize them to humans, and they'll always be a little bit shy and maybe even a little bit feral and much more difficult to adopt out.
You know, the kittens that were born on my doorstep, 2 I adopted out, 1 I kept because she came with a sister, an older sister from another litter. And, you know, that's Molly. And I wish I had held her more. I thought I held her a lot. But she doesn't like to be held. So I blame myself in not socializing her to be held.
Yeah, it's not always your fault, though. Sometimes they're just pre-wired. We've got kittens that have been raised bottle fed and raised in a litter. And one of them will just be, you know, not interested in being held or not interested in being a lap cat, where everyone else is crawling all over you and you can't get them off. You know, one might just decide, you know, that's just not their thing. So you can't really blame yourself. But the more socialization that you can give the kittens, the better it is. So that's one of the reasons why we opened the Itty Bitty Kitty Cafe, is to help get our kitties more socialized so that they become better cats once they're adopted.
Okay. And right now there's just one location. You're in San Jose?
Right. We're in San Jose on Union Avenue. It's something that we just started in May. And up until then, we've been with Pet Food Express doing adoption fairs in cages in the pet store since 2007, when the Pet Food Express store started opening. And we've done a lot of adoptions from the store. But we've decided to open up this Itty Bitty Kitty Cafe, so there's rooms where the kittens can run free and the people can come in and sit down and play with them. So we've got people coming in every hour, different people coming in, different all day for 6 hours on Saturdays and Sundays, playing with our kittens and holding them and cuddling them. So they're getting used to kids and old people and just pretty much all kinds of different people. So when they do get adopted, they're very well socialized and comfortable around all kinds of people.
Okay. And you're a nonprofit organization.
Correct.
What about, you know, because you're one location. I used to live in California and I miss it at times, most of the time, but we have listeners globally. What if there's not an itty bitty orphan kitty rescue in their area? You know, what would you recommend to people that are thinking, you know, this sounds like something interesting, or there's a lot of people with shelters that listen in Catitude, or I run a shelter, maybe I should consider this. What would you suggest?
Yeah, so some shelters are a little bit progressive and they've created what they call community rooms within their shelter environment. The Humane Society Silicon Valley in Milpitas is one of them. It's a private shelter. It's not a government shelter. And they have big rooms where the kittens hang out and people can come in and meet the kittens and, you know, socialize with them. They have volunteers that come in and just socialize those kittens. So some shelters are progressive and are starting to do very similar things to what we're doing. And there are rescue groups, even in the South Bay area here where we are, that are also doing the same thing. I have rescue partners that have, like, you know, kitten playrooms where people can go in and, you know, look for a kitten to adopt and spend a little time playing with the kittens. My cafe is a little bit different than most of these places, in that in order for us to pay the bills and pay the lease, we actually charge people to come in to play with kittens. We call it kitten therapy sessions. And we let the people pay $15 to come in and spend an hour in a nice comfy room that's like little kitten Disneyland and play with our little baby kittens. There's not very many places that do just kittens. Most of the cat cafes and stuff have adult cats. So that's where we're a little bit different, in that we only have kittens. But yeah, I think that people are starting to realize that this is a good way of getting kittens adopted and getting them socialized, is by creating these types of organizations.
Okay, while we're on the kitty cafe, I don't know if you're going to get a lot of people heading to San Jose or people going that have their own, you know, shelters saying, you know what, we should think about doing this. But, you know, taking care of the orphan kitties is a huge responsibility and a lot. It's very intense. So right. What about your kitty cafe? Is anyone allowed? How do you protect the kittens from, because I'm sure people are thinking about this, from germs and things like that.
Right. So all of our kittens live in foster homes and they all live in separate foster homes. And we usually only have one litter per foster home. So that way they're separated and they don't spread germs with each other, you know, during the week. On the weekends, everybody hand sanitizes when they come in. We are very particular about which groups of kittens we'll put together in a room to be with each other. And we make sure that they have been healthy for at least a week with no diarrhea or upper respiratory infections or anything like that. So only healthy kittens get to come. And all of our guests that come in to play with the kittens have to hand sanitize. They have to remove their shoes and come in wearing socks only. We do disinfect at the end of the day, every day, with, you know, rescue disinfectant to make sure that we don't have any residual germs left. And the kittens are only there on Saturdays and Sundays for 6 hours. And we actually rotate that. We have 84 kittens in foster care right now. On a Saturday, we'll have like 20 kittens in one room and 20 kittens in another room. But then on Sunday, we'll have totally different kittens in each room. So everybody gets a chance to come for one day a weekend.
Okay. And do you have restrictions on age?
Oh, yeah. So we do, because baby kittens, and some of these are really tiny kittens, we do have some concerns about really young children being in the rooms with them. So we do say 5 and older. So we don't want kids under 5 years old running around with the kittens. We do make exceptions if they put them in a stroller and bring the kids in a stroller. They can put kittens in the kids' laps, but they can't be on the floor running around with the kittens. That would be just too dangerous for the kittens. It wouldn't be good for their safety.
Right. I can certainly understand that. All right. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back.
Pet Greens is proud to support Cattitude on Pet Life Radio. Our small family farm produces live organic cat grass, catnip, and soft chew treats packed with green nutrition to help your pets truly thrive inside. We're partnering with pioneer cat behavior expert and best-selling author Pam Johnson Bennett to help indoor cats live their best lives with indoor enrichment tips for their parents.
Anyone who knows me knows I am a very strong proponent for cats being indoors. But when we bring cats indoors, where I feel it's safest, we have an obligation to make sure they have a fulfilling life, that they get enrichment. And part of that enrichment is encouraging health. And a big part of that health is cat grass. Cat grass helps with the prevention of hairballs. It can help keep your cat away from houseplants. It's also fun for your cat. It's a natural behavior that your cat wants to chew, and you know that you're providing it in a safe way.
For more information on the benefits of cat grass and catnip for your cat's indoor enrichment, visit petgreens.com.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Lori Mello. She is the president, founder. She does it all at the Itty Bitty Orphan Kitten Rescue. So, Lori, do you have any advice for people that are interested in adopting kittens? What kind of screening they should expect? Because I know that a lot of, whether it's, you know, nonprofits, shelters, wherever they're adopting, there's a lot of screening that goes on and should.
Yes. So most shelters don't have the ability. And I actually worked at the San Jose shelter for a couple of years a while ago. One of the reasons why I left was because they don't have a good screening process. They basically say, do you have a place to live? Are you over 18? Show me your driver's license. Here's some kittens. And they walk out the door without any information given to the adopter to help them, you know, acclimate the kitten when the kitten gets home. So rescues are different. I mean, extremely different from a shelter adoption. Our rescue especially has been, for the past 20 years, only adopting our kittens in pairs. And we do extensive screening. So we'll do like an interview with you on site when you're meeting the kittens. And we have you do an adoption application. And we go over that with you and make sure that there aren't any concerns. And then once you're approved, you get to pick whichever pair of kittens that you like. And then what we do is we give you an adoption packet of information, lots of information on how to set up your kitties and make them have a safe room, you know, to make sure that they have the food and the litter that they're currently using so that there's, you know, it's familiar for them, because these little kittens really need a lot of guidance. And sometimes we do home deliveries, and then we stay available to them to offer them support and guidance for sometimes, you know, weeks or months after the adoption, just to make sure that everything is going okay. So that's a little bit different than what you'll get from adopting from a shelter or even some rescues who do what I call cash and carry. You basically come in, you fill out an application, and then you pay the money and you walk out of the store with the kittens. We don't do that. We make you wait the next day before you can get your kittens, because we want you to prepare and get your home ready.
I like what you do. I've heard all kinds of crazy stories out there. I've been doing Catitude since 2017, and just in listening, and I know why, you know, you want to do a lot of screening, because you want to make sure the kittens are taken care of and that they're not abandoned or returned.
Right, right. And we're really fortunate. We don't get a lot of returns, and we do get people that are pretty darn happy with their kittens once they get them home and get them situated. If they're introducing them to other pets in the home, we give them information on how to do that and instructions and guidance to make sure that they're, you know, that they get along with each other. I mean, it's harmonious in the home. If they've got an old cat, let's say a 16-year-old cat, and they want to adopt, you know, a single kitten, you know, we'll talk them out of that and say, you know, you need to adopt two kittens, because that takes the pressure off the elderly cat, because they have each other to play with. So we do a lot of counseling. Our volunteers are very well trained on doing adoption counseling with our adopters. And we just really want to make sure that everything goes well and the kittens are happy and the people are happy and our fosters are happy. We want our fosters to feel like, you know, they put a lot of their time and energy and love into these kittens. They want to know those kittens are going to a really good home.
You said you adopt your kittens. Do you only adopt kittens in pairs?
Yeah, so our very young kittens, we only adopt them in pairs unless we have an odd number of a kitten and the adopter already has a kitten that maybe they've adopted a single kitten from another rescue or a shelter. So then we'll do an addition. We'll add an extra odd numbered kitten that we might have with their resident kitten. But we want it to be a kitten, not a cat, because kittens really, especially bottle-fed kittens, really need another kitten in order to develop properly. They need to learn what's appropriate, biting, scratching, wrestling and playing and things like that. They just really need that for good development to become good kitties. They don't learn that if they're a single kitty. So if we adopted a single kitty, what will happen is they tend to put a lot of demands on your attention. They will become, you know, most likely they'll become biters, because they'll be biting you in your hands because they don't have another kitten to bite with. There's just so many things that can go wrong with a single kitten. And we just feel like doing them in pairs just makes everybody happier.
My personal opinion, I think that's true. Even if you get a kitten from a rescue or a shelter, not bottle fed, but even a little older, I think they keep each other happy and play with each other, where it's not the same as with, you know, a human and a kitten. They just need each other.
I agree. And I think that there's a misconception out there that people think that cats are independent, that they're good, you know, to be loners, that, you know, and they're happy, you know, by themselves. But, you know, out in the world, you know, if there are cats that are out, community cats, they gather in groups and colonies. They want to be together. They support each other. They help each other. And they bond with each other outside. So now that we're mostly doing indoor-only kitties, I mean, all of our kitties, we want to be indoor-only. An indoor-only kitty will never see another of its species again if it lives inside by itself. It's going to be a much happier cat to have another one of its species living in the home with them. And you can have a dog that bonds with the kitten. You can have kids that bond with the kitten, but it's just not going to be the same as having another kitten to bond with.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that. You have a great website, and we're going to mention it a little bit later, but you also have a section called Happy Tales, which some great stories there. Can you share one of them with us?
Yeah, so the Happy Tales on our website, unfortunately, is pretty outdated. We created that website in 2006, and I have not been able to keep it completely up to date.
Any happy story is fine.
Okay, let me try to think of one. Okay, so we had a situation where just recently a woman lost her husband, and she was really, really grieving. And then she had adopted two kitties from us, about 15 or 16 years previous, and they had both passed away. So she came to us, you know, in tears, basically saying, you know, she was all alone and she needed some kittens. So we helped her go through all the different kittens that we had and find the right match for her that had the right personality that was going to give her the right emotional support that she needed. And we ended up finding two Siamese kittens that were born in Los Baños, which is a very rural, isolated area south of us. They were being raised by their mom in a foster home down there. And we were able to get these two kittens to her. I get messages from her still. I mean, this has probably been close to a year now. I get messages from her at least once a week with sending me pictures of the kitties and posing. And she is a cello player. So she plays the cello for her kitties. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful story. And she has just really gotten so much love from these kittens that it's helped her through her grief.
Those stories are always so wonderful. They're just so wonderful.
Yeah. And, you know, we have other stories too of kitties that we've pulled that were medically challenged. We had one that came to us that one of its legs, the bones did not connect. And so the paw was floppy and everybody kept saying that leg needed to be amputated. We ended up taking it to, you know, our vet, and our vet said, you know, I think that it can stay. I think that she can, you know, she still uses the leg, even though the paw was completely disconnected and could not be repaired surgically. And we didn't think we would ever find an adopter for her, but we had a couple come in and they just fell in love with her. And they said, they think that was just adorable and that they had no problems whatsoever adopting a kitty with the defect. And they love her. And they just moved to Florida, actually, and sent us pictures of them, you know, cuddling and being happy, the two kittens that they adopted from us. And she's doing very well, and she didn't have to have her leg amputated. So, you know, there's just lots of stories like that where we have saved kitties that maybe wouldn't have survived had we not pulled them from the shelter and found them really good homes where they're happy.
You know, you're a nonprofit, and I know you said your website's outdated, but you do have some ways people can help.
Yes.
So how can our listeners help? Because we might have a listener, I don't know, that has something or just got a nice bonus or who knows what and just says, you know, I'd love to send some money to this rescue.
Right. So we're a 501c3 nonprofit. All of our money comes in is all donations. We don't have any funding. So, you know, it's kind of hard to keep going. Our kittens cost a lot to feed. I feed all of our foster kittens. We provide food for all of our fosters so they don't have to. So we're constantly looking for ways to fundraise and get money in so we can feed our kittens. Some people donate by going to our Amazon wish list and buying items there, food items there, and having them mailed to us. Some of them go to our website. There's a PayPal button there to donate. You can donate through PayPal to make a donation, and you can, you know, designate what you want it to be for, food or medical care or just, you know, for whatever use that we need it for. And, you know, we do Facebook fundraisers sometimes to do the Itty Bitty Kitty Cafe. We had to move really quickly because once I got board approval, it was like we had to jump on it. So we did a GoFundMe and people were able to donate through that. And that GoFundMe, I believe, is still active. So there's a lot of ways that people that aren't in the South Bay area, you know, of San Francisco where we're located, can still help us by making donations with food or with funds.
And your website?
Yeah, so they can go through our website. If it says donate at the top of the website, you just click there and then you can make a donation through PayPal with a credit card or however, if you have a PayPal account, however you want to do it. And then that money goes directly into our business account.
Okay, and I love the name of your website because it's ibokrescue.org. So Itty Bitty Orphan Kitty.
Yeah, when I first thought of it, it was IBOK, like a little baby kitten saying IBOK.
Oh, yeah.
And so that sort of was IBOK, but everybody still calls it IBOK. And then with the iPhone and the iBook and the iPad and everything else, it just became IBOK. But I still think of it as IBOK.
We're trained through technology, you know?
Yes. We do have a lot of kittens available for adoption. All of the kittens that are on our website are available for adoption. And the kittens that come to our kitty cafe on the weekends are all available for adoption. We don't adopt outside of the Bay Area, so we don't ship kittens. We did get an email recently from someone from Hawaii asking us to ship some Siamese kittens to her in Hawaii. And we're like, yeah, we're not doing that. So you kind of have to be local in order to adopt from us. But sometimes we also like have kitties that are not getting adopted. Like, we have some that came in as like 2 or 3 week old kittens that are now 6 months old, and they're still waiting and waiting and waiting for their home. So we are asking people to help sponsor them, because of course we have to continue to feed them and provide them with medical care while they wait. So you can actually go on our website and sponsor a kitten or sponsor a pair of kittens by making a recurring donation, like once a month, like $10 a month or something like that, to help go towards helping feed and care for those kittens that are waiting for their home.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on Catitude, and thanks for all you do to keep all these orphan kittens safe.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I really appreciate it.
I want to thank Lori for coming on Catitude and sharing all this really interesting information about the Itty Bitty Orphan Kitten Rescue. I wish I lived around the corner. I'd be there every weekend. So thank you so much, Lori. I'd like to also thank my kitties, Molly, Dennis, and Charlotte. Molly was the one we found as a baby, and wow. I mean, she had a mama, but it was still intense, and raising her and her brother and sister. Her brother and sister we adopted out to good homes, but we've had Molly now. Gosh, we're going on, I think Molly just turned 8, so the other day. So happy belated birthday to Molly. And I also want to give a shout out to a longtime listener, Julie. It's her birthday today. So happy birthday, Julie. And I want to thank everyone who listens to Catitude. I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for listening to Catitude all these years and making our show one of the most popular, if not popular, pet show on the internet. So thank you. And this show would not be the same without my magical producer, Mark Winter. He is a genius. So thank you so much, Mark, for all you do editing and producing our podcasts to make them sound so amazing. And hey, keep in mind, lose the attitude, have Catitude.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.